seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Isaiah chapter 63 and the 9th verse. Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 9. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 9. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. This is a very sweet record of the Lord's dealings with his ancient people, the children of Israel, as they were to journey through the wilderness. Really, the path they had to tread was a path of affliction. And this is the lot of every one of God's elect in some degree or measure. The Lord is a sovereign. Some have great afflictions of body. Some have great afflictions of mind. Some have great afflictions of circumstance in their providential pathway and family life. Others have deep affliction of soul. Affliction that is not seen by men. It's deep within the heart. Known by God. And he alone can undertake for each one of these dear children of his. In the case of the children of Israel, and too in the cases of each of the Lord's dear children, he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. What is the affliction sent in? It's not in wrath, but in his dear covenant love. It's because he loves his children, and there are times when he will lay affliction upon them in love. We read in Paul's letter to the Hebrews, where he speaks of whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But he says here, and I want us help to look a little into it this morning, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. They were afflicted in Egypt. He brought the afflictions upon them to bring them out of Egypt. I've known over the years some that have forsaken God's house and gone into the world and live much of their life in the world and in its pleasures and sin until affliction comes upon them. We think of a dear friend in Canada, in America rather, that a young man that said to the dear pastor at Grand Rapids that he would not believe there was a God in heaven unless the Lord laid on him an affliction that he could never get out from under. What a statement. And the day came where the Lord laid on him motor neuron disease. The dear man was 36, I think, if I remember rightly. And now he's been in that hospital, unable to speak, and many of his faculties have failed. But he still, with his toes, can type on his computer the messages he conveys both to his pastor and those that go and see him. And the dear man, you know, was brought into great concern about his soul because the affliction was laid upon him, and he was brought to believe there was a God in heaven. And you think of the children of Israel in Egypt. The Lord laid many afflictions on them to bring them out of Egypt and to put them in the way of the wilderness. And in that wilderness journey, they had many afflictions, didn't they? But he says here, in all their afflictions. Now, may the Holy Spirit help me to look a little closer into it. In all their afflictions. Now, the Lord knows in your lot, in my lot, in our hearts, what those afflictions are, and in our pathways. And may we be given a special grace to bear those afflictions. Because we will need it. He says in all their afflictions, he knows exactly what all those afflictions are that you have, that I have. And he knows exactly how his people feel under them. He was afflicted. And really, in one's little understanding of this, what the prophet is setting before us here, in all their afflictions, he was afflicted. The Saviour himself knew as he walked this earth all the afflictions that his people were to bear. And he knew exactly what each one was to have. And may we be enabled to feel that these afflictions, they may be varied, they may be small, they may be great, are all known to the Lord and all sent by him. And what a mercy if the Lord directs us away from not just looking at our afflictions, but to look at the afflictions he, the dear Redeemer, bore. What does the hymn writer say? His way was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? Now, in all these afflictions, and the afflictions the children of Israel had, they weren't alone in it. This is another side to it. He was afflicted. He was with them in it, you see. Oh, he was. He was with them in Egypt to use the affliction to bring them out. He was with them in the wilderness. And what did these afflictions do? To the world and to our old flesh, they but harden us, don't they? The world becomes very hard when it comes to affliction. And so does our flesh. He doesn't like it, does he? He soon rebels against the affliction. But you know the Lord has a purpose in it. And I want to name just a few of the purposes he may have in your heart and pathway as these afflictions come, whatever be the nature of them. They so often bring us to our knees in prayer before the Lord. He doth not afflict willingly. He brings it upon us to make us cry unto him. You think of the children of Israel, how they cried unto him in Egypt, how they cried unto him in the wilderness. And how many times you have to cry unto him in those afflictions, don't we? But then, secondly, it may be he sent it upon you to draw you away from sin and from hardness and rebelliousness and to draw you to his dear feet. As these afflictions come, you see, they are used by the Lord as the instrument or in his hand to draw the sinner away from themselves and draw them to him. There were those, you see, that in the wilderness that were favoured, just a few, with nearness to the Lord. He drew near and was with them in that affliction. But then another reason may be he sends this affliction upon you and upon me to keep us in our right place. You see, all the time we're healthy and well, we soon forget the Lord and we are soon lifted up with ourselves and with pride and we go along unconcerned. So what does he do? He puts the hand of the Lord, and oh may we see in this the hand of the Lord upon us. Guiding us, directing us, keeping us down, you see. I often mention the case of the Apostle Paul with that thorn in the flesh. You think how that kept the dear man down. And well could Peter write in his epistle, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God." You see, under the hand of the Lord, afflictions, they will humble the sinner. Bring them right down. I've seen some of the Lord's dear children that have been hard characters and in some ways aggressive sort of characters. But under affliction, the Lord's brought them right down so they're sweetly submissive before the Lord, tender in his fear and in his hand. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. So he says, in all their afflictions. But then, oh, to be led in our afflictions to view the afflictions of the Saviour. You think how he was afflicted. What do we read in beautiful 53rd chapter where he speaks, this, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. What do we see here? Well, sweet submission in the dear Saviour. And what a mercy it is when the Lord brings these afflictions, whatever the circumstance of the affliction may be, where we're submissive, resigned to his will. We have to say with the Saviour and what he said in the Garden of Gethsemane, didn't he? Of that sweet submission, thy will be done. The will of his God. The will of his beloved Father. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Look at this quietness in the Saviour. He opened not his mouth. So often we do, we complain, we got this pain, this agony, this trouble, this distress, and we complain, but he opened not his mouth. You know, it's a wonderful lesson to me. I leave the other with you, but he opened not his mouth. He was quiet before his beloved Father in it all. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Think how a lamb is brought to the slaughter. It doesn't complain. It's there taken by the shepherd or those that have brought it to the slaughter. And that's how he was brought, as a lamb to the slaughter. Oh, look at the tenderness in a lamb. The tenderness the Lord gives to his dear afflicted people. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. So he opened not his mouth. Oh, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, in your affliction, whatever it may be, the nature of it, oh, to view the dear Redeemer, to be drawn to his afflictions and see how he opened not his mouth. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. No rebelliousness in the Saviour, sweet submission, resigned to the will of his Father, thy will be done. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. But let's just pause a moment. The Lord sees your affliction. He sees your trouble or affliction, whatever it may be. And he saw the children of Israel in Egypt in their affliction. And he saw them in the wilderness in their affliction. Another point, what he will maybe bring upon us, this affliction, is to teach us well our sinnership. Because you see, affliction was not upon the earth when Adam and Eve were put in the Garden of Eden. It came after Adam and Eve fell, when they partook of the tree, which God forbade them to touch. And as soon as sin entered, so did affliction. The reason, and I say it tenderly and lovingly, that our hospitals are full of afflicted is because of sin. If there wasn't any sin, there'd be no need of a hospital. It's all because of sin. But you know, when these afflictions come upon us, does it not bring us to examine ourselves? And examine our heart, what sin there is there. And does it not cause us to cry unto him, to be washed, and to be cleansed from all that sin? Oh, sometimes you see with the children of Israel, he brought them to affliction to make them truly repent of their sin and confess them before the God of heaven and beg for mercy. It'd be interesting, I've never done it, but you dear children might have opportunity. You look through the Psalms, the prayers of the psalmist, and see how many times they pleaded for mercy. Well, you can look through the New Testament. You know, all those characters, like blind Bartimaeus, the dear Syrophoenician woman, and others, they came with their troubles to the Lord, But they all came pleading for one thing, and that was for mercy. What did blind Bartimaeus say? Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And oh, how many times the dear psalmist in their afflictions, they had to plead for mercy. It's a good theme, you know, mercy. Through blood I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. Were not for thy mercy, we could not dwell here. Sin soon would reduce us to utter despair. Thomas Hayson, in all their afflictions he was afflicted. And then we find, and the angel of his presence saved them. This is a wonderful word, really, you know. He didn't leave them to perish in that affliction. He didn't leave them to perish in their sin. The angel of his presence. Who was this angel of his presence? Well, if you go back to the book of Exodus, we find that sacred word where the Lord said, behold, I will send an angel before thee. And who was this blessed angel? None other than the Lord Jesus. The angel of his presence. Now, the angel of his presence went with them through this path of affliction. And oh, may the angel of his presence go with you in this path of affliction, whatever it may be. You know, the older we get, the more afflictions seem to abound. And we feel more and more the need of the angel of his presence, and that blessed angel is the Lord Jesus. Jacob needed this blessed angel, didn't he? What does he say on his dying bed? The angel that redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Have you the desire to come very low, if I may, for this blessed angel of his presence to not only be with us, that is vital, and to keep us alive in our souls, and to make us lively in the vital things of God, but the angel of his presence saved them. They weren't left to perish in that affliction. You may wonder why we read Psalm 34 together, because in it was a parallel word to this. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. What a mercy that is. The Lord delivereth him out of them all. Save them. You see here, he says, the angel of his presence saved them. Look how he saved them from Egypt. They could have perished in Egypt, but he saved them from Egypt, didn't he? And look how he saved them at the Red Sea from the hosts of Pharaoh and that great army. He saved them. They were not left to perish in the hand of their enemies or in their afflictions. The angel of his presence saved them. But then he goes further. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. Now, there were three precious, vital things here in this sacred clause. First of all, in his love. You see, as the angel of his presence went with them, they were favoured to feel the love of the Lord, the love of a precious Christ, the love of the Holy Spirit. In his love. in his dear covenant love. You see, the Lord entered in a covenant with his dear children, and the Lord will fulfill that covenant, the covenant of his everlasting, eternal love. What a make your affliction, whatever it may be, a sweet it'll be if you feel the love of Christ in it, in your poor heart. He visits you in his love, you see, and he brings you into that affliction, whatever it may be, to reveal his love to you, in his love. Love to poor sinners, love to their souls. And listen, this love is not just for time. It's an eternal love. Oh, think of that beautiful word the Lord spoke to Jeremiah. Yea, the Lord appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And you see, when he draws the sinner, he'll draw their heart wholly to him in his love. Well, let me come low. Do we desire to know more and more of his love? Love to sinners. Love to those them that know the Lord. Having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them to the end. Oh, the love that the Lord Jesus manifested when he went to Calvary. Well, let us step back a moment. Look at the love that was manifested when he came into this earth, left the realms of bliss and of glory in heaven, and came into this sin-cursed earth. What does one of the poets say? Love brought him from above, and love took him home to God. And look at how he suffered because he loved his bride, laid down his precious life, shed his precious blood. It was all done in love, in his dear covenant love. And when you can see love in the affliction, the Lord's hand upon you in love, it'll make the very bittersweet. Oh, it will. But oh, to feel that love in our hearts. The hymn writer said, kindle the flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. And when the Lord does kindle it, and favour you with that sweet love within, what will be the response of your heart? You'll be able to say with the hymn writer, do not I love thee, dearest Lord, behold my heart and see. So in his love, that is the first thing. And in his pity. Oh, how he pities poor sinners in their sin and in their wickedness and in their idolatry. You think as they went through the wilderness, how many idols they turned to, and yet his love was still toward them. He pitied them because they were so vile and so sinful, and he pities poor sinners today in all their sad state, in his love and in his pity. You think of the man that went from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. The priest, the Levite, what did they do? They passed him by on the other side. They had no pity upon the dear man, did they? But then we read, and a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. He had pity on him, didn't he? Had mercy upon him. And that's a beautiful illustration, the Lord Jesus to poor sinners. He came right where he was, as certain Samaritan as he journeyed, came where he was. You know what it is when the Lord has such pity on you. He comes right where you are. Bound up his wounds, took him to the inn and paid every penny of the debt due. And, oh, the pity of the Saviour to sinners. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He purchased them, you see. This is the third point. This wonderful purchase. And oh, may we lay to heart this morning, and not only now, but in the remainder of our life, the great cost of our redemption. The cost, his own heart's blood. So the dear prophet, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says in his love, he directs his dear souls that he writes to here and speaks to, in his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He redeemed them. They didn't redeem themselves, did they? You're not redeemed by corruptible things, dear Peter said, such as silver and gold. But he goes on to say this, doesn't he? But with the precious blood of Jesus. A lamb without spot and blemish. A lamb to redeem. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. Oh, may we know redeeming love. The hymn writer said, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. May that be the language of every one of us here. But then, and he bear them. Do you know what it is when the Lord bears you up under your afflictions, under your load, and he bears them? It's like a dear mother, eh? She bears up a babe, she carries it, you see. But he goes on to speak of this, doesn't he? He bears them and carried them all the days of old. You know, they didn't go through that wilderness under their own power or under their own might, did they? You weren't but to go through this wilderness journey under your own power or your own might. Not if you're a real child of God or me. We need bearing up by the Lord. And we need carrying. And it's only the Lord that can do this. And you think in your heart and what you may be in today, do you not feel the need? Lord, do bear me up under this heavy load. Carry me through. And how will the Lord do this? Well, of course, he is a sovereign. But it's a wonderful thing when there are those, you know, praying, gracious souls that bear up many at the throne of grace. They bear them up. They present, bring them continually to the Lord. Oh, there are many in our poor heart that we would continually bear up before the Lord in secret. You may not say a word, but you're bearing them up, you see. Under the hand of the Lord, at the throne of grace, carrying them there. There have been times, I hope, if not awfully deceived, when I felt to go into the pulpit up and down this land absolutely empty. And I felt when I got up to take the text, the prayers of those there, bear me up at the throne of grace. To carry you through, you see. And that's a wonderful thing. We need to bless the Lord for such souls, don't we? Zion, when he takes these dear souls to himself, is the poorer, you see, because there are not those to bear us up. In my very early days, I remember there were some very gracious characters that used to bear me up in the house of God, and not only was in the house of God, but in their hearts. And they told me after I joined the church, you know, how they carried me in it all. It's a wonderful thing, you know. But let us go further. The Lord will bear his people up, and he's a sovereign how he does it. He may use those to carry them in prayer, but too, he will use his servants. How many times has you come into the house of God here and you felt to be at the ends of the earth in your afflictions, in your troubles, in your distresses, and just the announcing of the text, or it may be the discourse, and the Lord uses his servants and it carries the child of God along. What they hear on the Lord's day carries them through the week. It's a wonderful thing, you know, when the word carries you through the week. It may be the text, it may be just one sentence in the discourse. It may be the whole sermon, the Lord's a sovereign. But you see, there's another thing here with these dear children of Israel. He carried them by his sweet presence being with them. Oh, he did. He carried them through. They didn't bring themselves through. If we could bring ourselves through, what happened? We'd be soon taking to ourselves the glory. And because the Lord brings his dear people through, he must have all the glory, all the praise. But then think of the sweet promises. How many sweet promises the Lord gives to his dear children. And it carries them all the days of old. You know, there are many of God's dear souls that he has loved with an everlasting love that are in glory now. And when we think of how the Lord began with them in their early days and gave them a sacred promise, and that word carried them right the way through their lives. Whenever they came into the depths, the Holy Spirit again spoke it to them, revealed it to them, and it carried them on. A word from the Lord will carry you. What does the hymn writer say? Jesus Christ, your Father's Son, bids you undismayed go on. You may say, well, but we're faced with all. He bids you undismayed go on. And he carried them all the days of old. And you know the Holy Spirit has wonderfully left on record how the Lord carried the children of Israel through the wilderness. But then in conclusion, as he carries you through the wilderness, as he carried the children of Israel through the wilderness, he was to carry them into glory. And he was to carry the children of Israel into the promised land. They wouldn't bring themselves there. And when the sinner comes down, the dear child of God, in all the afflictions, down into the river. Think of Christian and Hopeful in the Pilgrim's Progress. They came to that great river. And every one of us has got to go through it. The river of death. Sometimes the river's wide. But what did Christian and Hopeful prove as they ventured down into the river? The bottom was good. They were to be carried through. How? Well, think of that beautiful promise. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath of the everlasting arms. And those everlasting arms will carry the child of God home to glory. Oh, they will. And poor soul, those arms have carried you through life, have never failed, have they? And they won't fail in the swellings of Jordan. Oh no. They're not like ours. Our arms, as we get older, get weaker, don't they? We can't carry the weight or heaviness of things we did in our youth. They get faint. They become weary. But the everlasting arms of the Lord are never weary and never become faint. And they carry the child of God, and they carry them right home to glory, to be with the dear Redeemer without a veil between. Well, may the Lord bless to us this sacred word and apply it to our souls. Amen.